The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives. Live from Circa. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I am great. Our show is ridiculous on Fridays. Hour number two. Can we start there? Felica Fezzik and Dr. Bob. Assuming they all remember when they're supposed to be.
Assuming that, it doesn't get much better than that.
That's right. Assuming that they all know where they're supposed to be. Chime in. Chris Felica, of course, the Bear from Fox Sports on college football. Apparently, he has some horse racing. I don't know. He's got bets and lots of things.
A big race this weekend.
Steve Fezzik in the National Football League. We have lots to talk about with Fezzik. And it will be, received well in some respects and perhaps not received well in other respects with Steve. I'll just tease it that way. College football with Dr. Bob. I also want to dive into some of his NFL picks and get his reasoning on his thoughts there. First hour, joined by Alex Kane, the CEO of Sportrade. We are always humbled when a CEO of any company decides they want to hang out with us. Alex Kane coming back on the show to talk about Sportrade. Minus 104 lines.
Right.
Not minus 110. Premier League with Paul Carr, and Paul Carr also happens to be a Dolphins fan, so that works out this morning. Works out bizarro, man. Yeah. And then Are We Sure? Are We Sure of the NFL Week 2, our segment that we do every week here on the show. We will get into that. Let us begin with the Dolphins and the Bills. And I don't want to do guessing line style and recap the whole thing, but I do want to recap just the meat of this. Just to go over again just how this just deteriorated so rapidly for the Miami Dolphins. And let me just say, I was completely wrong about this football game. Bills fans may not like me by the end of this, but I was completely wrong about this game itself because the Dolphins were just atrocious. And yes, shout out to the Bills. Good for them. They're 2-0. They have banked the wins now, a 31-10 win over the Dolphins that started on the Dolphins' first drive with a interception that was not Tua Tagovailoa's fault. Bounced off Grant DuBose right into right off his shoulder pad into the hands of Jamarcus Ingram. That was returned to the Miami 37, short field, but Bills got on the board first with a 4th-and-3. Remember, 4th-and-3 it was at the Miami 17. Allen to James Cook, wide open in the flat, touchdown, 7-0 Buffalo. Then the high point of the game for Miami ensued, because Miami did have one scoring drive, a 10-play drive that was 5 runs, 5 passes, 2-and-a-Achan from 5 out. It was 7-7 late third quarter, late first quarter. Yeah, they look good. And then they forced a 3-and-out. So this was the high mark of the Miami Dolphins in this game. The rest, not so much. 1st-and-10, their own 29. Tua airmails Robbie Chosen, formerly Robbie Anderson, but he wants to be part of the tribe apparently, so he changed it to Robbie Chosen. Picked by Christian Benford. That returned to the Miami 43. So another short field, Tyler Bass field goal, 10-7, Miami 3-and-out. Then a 8-play, 85-yard drive for the Bills, which ended up being a 3rd-and-11 at the Dolphins 34, where Josh Allen does Josh Allen things. He extends the play, and Jalen Ramsey loses contact with Ty Johnson. A horrible play by Jalen Ramsey, 33 yards to the 1, and then of course, Cook puts it in from there. So you're 17-7 at that point. Then 4th-and-2 at the Buffalo 45, Tua sacked by Ed Oliver. It just keeps getting worse. Buffalo then thinking about a double dip. Remember last week they executed the perfect double dip down 14 against the Cardinals. That got them back into the game, got them tied with the Cardinals. So they're thinking, hey, double dip opportunity again. Instead, yeah, double dip schmubble schmip because Cook in from 49 untouched.
Yeah, that one was easy.
It just went from bad to just comical. 24-7 Buffalo. This is late in the third quarter. And now here's where I just want to, this is why I wanted to do it step by step, because some of these things are going to be lost. This was a failure offensively for the Dolphins. It was a failure defensively, but it was also a failure coaching wise. What was that last sequence in the first half?
Oh my gosh. I was hoping you weren't going to skip by it. Yeah, that was incredible.
They showed no urgency in play calling. Now, some people will say Tua was afraid to throw the ball downfield. I don't know if it was that.
I don't think it was that.
I don't think it was that at all. They showed no urgency in play calling. Then they had, and they, by the way, they had a full allotment of timeouts. They did not call the first of them till 33 seconds were left in the half. It was the weirdest thing. And then the bizarre play calling continued after that. It was like they thought they needed a field goal to win the game.
Yeah, it
was so strange instead of being down 17 in the first half.
Agree with you. It felt more like that. It just, I understand there's a fine line because on the other side, we kill coaches all the time when you score too quick, right? It's a fine line in that moment to be able to try to score and not leave enough time on the clock for Josh Allen, this went over.
Yes, that's a good point, Kelly, but this was ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. This was even the play calling, like you said, was like the play calling wasn't even designed.
What are we doing? Yeah. By the way, that continued for much of the second half, too, I thought, after the Tua exit. But anyway, they end up hitting a field goal from Sanders, 24-10 at the half. The second half begins, and this, of course, is where it goes from just awful to do we really feel good about watching football? Buffalo has to punt, but then Miami, 3rd and 5 from their own 30, Tua under pressure. He tries to throw it away. It's an ill-advised Billy Levi's play where he can't get it out of bounds. It goes right in the hands of Jamarcus Ingram, pick 6, 31-10 Buffalo. This is early third quarter. Well, 9:27 left in the third quarter. And then, of course, the point that everybody's going to talk about today, Miami gets it to 4th and 4 at the Buffalo 13. Tua gets 7 of those yards for the first down, but he takes a hit, a bit of a neck impingement. Ironically, Damar Hamlin on the hit. He then bangs his head, the back of his head on the ground. We have seen this before. The contractions in his hands occur. We have seen that before. That's the fencing response to a concussion. He ended up limping off, which is what Al Michaels seemingly wanted to talk about, was him limping off. But obviously that wasn't the thing. We know of Tua's concussions from 2 seasons ago, specifically the ones that stick out in our brains. I think I can speak on everybody's behalf is the one against Buffalo where he was sacked. He got up. He was woozy. He fell back down. And then his teammates had to help him up as he walked off the field. And remember, the NFL called it a back injury that week. And then 4 days later, he's playing against the Bengals on a Thursday night. That's when we saw the fencing response that was so absolutely horrible to see for anybody watching that game. And so last night when the fencing thing happened, they cut away from it very quickly. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. Like they did not want to linger on that. And so I don't know if you were like this, but I immediately went to the what's Tua's contract thing. He signed, of course, a 4-year, $212 million contract extension this offseason, $167 million of which are guaranteed. Anyway, the rest of this game was academic. Skylar Thompson came in. They couldn't get a 4th down. 31-10, the Bills roll. So there's the football aspect and there's the Tua aspect. From the football aspect, let's get that out of the way first. The football aspect is Bills are now 20-5 versus the division versus the AFC East since 2020. Allen's record versus the Dolphins is 12-2 straight up. Bills' 5th straight win against the Dolphins. Miami loses for the 10th time in their past 11 to the Bills. And the betting odds go from Miami being the short shot to win the AFC East at plus 165 to now it's the Bills plus 125, the Jets plus 270, and the Dolphins plus 350. And Tua was able to, now getting to the Tua part, he was able to sign that big deal because last year was his career season. Remember, the concussions was 2 years ago. Last year, he was able to avoid that. He led the league with 4,624 yards passing to go along with 29 touchdowns and 14 picks. The Tua part, CBS Sports HQ injury expert Marty Jaramillo, let's just take one voice out there. He thinks Tua could be sidelined a minimum of 8 to 12 weeks. I don't know if it's going to be 8 to 12 weeks, but it better not be nothing. Because if the NFL is serious about their concussion protocol, they have to really protect this kid.
I think this is another great example of where the newer short-term IR comes into play, and I think it's a great thing for the NFL, where you got to miss 4 weeks, right? And I think that's where you start with him. In my opinion, that's where it starts, and then you take it from there.
You really do worry about Tua, and I think most football fans, even if you had bets on it because the game was largely decided at that point, maybe you had in games, but I think everybody's brain shifted to please. Let the kid be okay.
You want to hear from Deion Dawkins, the Bills lineman?
I think this is a good perspective.
Yeah, it really is, guys. You can fire that up. It's good stuff from Deion Dawkins from the Bills.
Telling you, it was the saddest thing. I promise you, it was the saddest thing. We're all just watching him run, and we're like, slide, bro, slide, bro, slide, bro, slide. And this game is so fast. It's a game of inches. You know, if he would have just slid just a little inch before, it's such a sad thing. My prayers, my heart goes out to Tua, his family, his parents, and I hope that he's going to recover well because this is a violent game, and that shows it. And I know everybody in this locker room will be praying for him, you know, even though, like, we're enemies, but we're family. You know, like we're all football players and we're in this brotherhood together and we all tip our hats to Tua and we all will get on the knee and pray for Tua and his family. But it's a sad deal.
I mean, if that doesn't drive it home for you, I don't know what does.
Opposing player saying that. And I think from a on-field perspective, it's very clear that everybody's aware of what Tua has gone through in the past.
And you just have to absolutely feel for him. And that overrides the fact. And again, let's have a football discussion. It overrides the feeling after that game. But from a football perspective, we might be so sober. It's the Dolphins look awful. They probably should be 0-2. Remember, it was the fumble into the end zone on the way into the end zone for the Jaguars that was quickly turned into an 80-yard touchdown score to Tyreek that turned around the game against Jacksonville last week. So the Dolphins, one could say, are fortunate to have won that game. So the Dolphins, man, you got to really worry about this team. And I should have listened to my own advice. They're a bully. That's the topic sentence of the Miami Dolphins. When their talent exceeds that of the other team, they crush them. When someone picks on them that's their own size, it doesn't work out so well. And that's what happened last night. And I will say this about the Bills. Good on the Bills. You're 2-0. But let's just be honest about the Bills, too. The first game, and by the way, again, you were 2-0. You've done everything you can do. Kyler Murray missed a wide-open Marvin Harrison Jr. In the first game that could have beaten you after you trailed 17-3, made a valiant comeback. And then last night, I don't know that you could. Yes, you forced these plays to some degree. But I don't know if you can expect other quarterbacks who are better than Tua to throw the ball so mindlessly to the side and have a pick six a la Will Levis for the Titans.
But it's two wins in the AFC.
But it's two wins. You banked them. Good for you. Hey, look, I love Jesse Pegula. I still love you, Bills fans. I don't hate you. Give me that much. We'll come back. Paul Carr, Premier League picks, and he's a Dolphins fan. Next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back in the numbers game, live from Circa. Don't forget, with the NFL underway, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits, betting systems, and 24/7 video access so you can watch or listen to us anywhere you go. That's video access, not just video access. I want to make that clear. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175 or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99 and see why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and start betting smarter today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Not only Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, by the way, here on a numbers game, live at Circa. Not only should I have listened to, you know, what did I got called? The Dolphins and the Cowboys bullies last year. That's what they were. They're bullies. They beat everybody who was clearly worse than them. Couldn't beat anybody that was as good or better, generally speaking. So not only did I not listen to my own advice about calling the Dolphins a bully, but the other thing that stuck in my head last night is, what's the other thing I keep saying about Mike McDaniel, who I love? And again, if you missed the Hard Knocks in season with the Dolphins last year, it was one of the best of any of the Hard Knocks installment, preseason, postseason, preseason, in season, or the actual classic Hard Knocks. But the whole quirky I wear capri pants thing, which I don't care about and I love about him, I just can't help but feel that the NFL Neanderthals, you know the type, are going to turn on him if they don't win, right? If they start to lose consistently.
Oh, 100%.
That they're going to turn on him in a way that they wouldn't otherwise, a la Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing the two because I know Brandon Staley did some crazy things on fourth downs and stuff, but you get the idea that somehow there is a persona that the old NFL guard loves to crap on if they get the chance. And so I'm just saying, I would hate for that to happen to Mike McDaniel.
I think you are 100% right. I hope it doesn't happen to him either, because I like the guy. Yeah. I think he's a sharp coach. And look, hey, if he bring a little personality to the league, it's kind of a nice change.
It's like Al Michaels said last night. He goes, I've been in this league for 4 decades. There is no comp to this guy.
No, not at all.
There is not a comp to him. We bring in noted Dolphins fan, and of course, he's here for Premier League picks, of course, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's Paul Carr, everybody, moving the chains in your bank account week to week. Oh, coming from a hotel of some sort. Where are you, Paul?
I'm actually in my mom's not cork attic.
I like
mom's house for the day for a variety of reasons. So, yeah.
Let's start with the Dolphins part before we get to the Premier League.
You are
Central Casting Dolphins fan. What is your reaction? Where's your brain right now?
I mean, I feel like the season's over. You know, We don't know how long Tua is going to be out, but I mean, even ignoring the Tua injury, like that was a bad game for the Dolphins.
Yes.
Like, from, I mean, you've detailed a lot of it in your first segment, from play calling to clock management to, you know, just about everything. It was a, I mean, I was depressed in the middle of the third quarter before Tua got hurt. And now the guy that the Dolphins finally gave $240 million or whatever it was to, looks like he's going to be out for an extended period of time. And the Dolphins, you know, don't have even a, you know, competent NFL backup. They don't have a Jacoby Brissett type or something like they did a couple years ago. So it feels like the season is over, even though we're 2 weeks in.
Yeah. Chris Collinsworth's famous line, where the two most important positions in football, starting quarterback and backup quarterback. You have faith in Skylar Thompson, or would you like to see them go out and get the, and again, we were talking about this yesterday.
Don't say it, Gil.
Your former quarterback, who apparently is the best quarterback available, Ryan Tannehill.
Right. It's funny. I saw someone float Tannehill last night, and I was like, oh, that's not bad, which kind of tells you everything about where we're at. I mean, optimistically, I would say, if once the Dolphins know Skylar Thompson is going to be the quarterback, they can adjust the offense accordingly. And, you know, he wasn't terrible, even like in that playoff game against Buffalo. You know, he wasn't awful. So I'd like to think they can make the adjustments and he'll be okay, you know, once they have time to prepare for him specifically, instead of just having him run to his version of the offense. But they should also definitely be looking for a Tannehill or somebody in that vein to not necessarily come in and start, but at least have there just in case.
The you see, gambling Twitter already started photoshopping Tom Brady into a Dolphins uniform last night.
Well, at least there's high hopes there. Like, Paul's got to be one of the more sensible Dolphins fans on the planet. I'm not even on a Dolphins fan. As soon as I heard Tannehill's name mentioned, I was like, oh god, this is going to have a bad reaction from South Florida.
I mean, Dolphins were not a team I have in my top 10 in terms of our power rankings. They were not a team I thought would win the division. Nor did I about the Bills. So it's to me, it's we're talking about like the sort of the group of teams right below the top 10 here. I could be proven wrong. Maybe the Bills end up being something else. But yeah, everything about the Dolphins, it was comprehensive, right? That was the thing. Even before the Tua injury, it was a comprehensive defeat. Offense, defense, coaching, all around.
Yeah. And the only hope really is if you can, I mean, yeah, you're trying to scratch out 9 wins or something and maybe sneak into the playoffs, because the schedule's relatively easy for the next month or so. I mean, it's Seahawks, Titans, Patriots, Colts, Cardinals. It's not cake, but it's easier now than it should be. So you want to try and get through that month. But yeah, just the way that the season turns on a single play. It's not a great time to be a Dolphins fan.
Let's leave it at that. Not a great time, at least this morning, to be a Miami Dolphins fan, for reasons both football and more serious beyond the field, of course. Yep. All right, Premier League. How are we doing so far? Let's start there.
Good. We're up, 3-0, 1-2, 2-1 through 3 weeks. So I forget what that came out to from a unit standpoint, but we're grinding away. We had an international break and we got Champions League next week. So this is one of those weird sandwich weekends where you want to be a little careful because you're not sure, you know, who's going to play, who's healthy, who are you saving for Champions League getting started and all that. But it's good to be back in the swing of things.
I believe he called it a sandwich spot, Kelly, is what he meant to say.
That's right.
Sandwich spot, definitely.
Or also a city in England, right? Sandwich?
It's got to be. It has to be a sandwich in it, right?
Has to be a city, Paul. Well said. Has to be one.
Wasn't there an Earl? Wasn't there an Earl of Sandwich?
Yes.
This is at Planet Hollywood, right across the street from me.
Yeah.
All right. Three pack of Premier League picks. What do you have first?
We're going to start tomorrow, Saturday. Crystal Palace, Leicester City. We talked before the season how goals were up quite a bit last year, and we're curious how that would play out. It hasn't really continued. They're kind of back to, I don't know, normal in that sense. So all that to say, I have an under 2.5 at plus 110 on Crystal Palace, Leicester City. These two teams are combined to score 5 goals in 6 games, and all their underlying numbers, expected goals and such, they're the two of the bottom 3 teams in the league, 2 of the bottom 3 in shot quality, etc. Palace lost their best attacker to Bayern, Michael Olise, in the offseason, haven't totally replaced him. And Jamie Vardy is still Leicester's attacker. You probably remember Jamie Vardy from that Leicester City run in 2015-16. Yes. He's still there at age 37,
wow,
which is, you know, both a compliment to him, but I think more of an indictment of that Leicester hasn't totally replaced him. So Leicester's fairly defensive. They're a relegation-threatened team to being newly promoted and all, so they've been fairly defensive this season. This is the kind of game where they would love to grab a point, Leicester would. And Palace, you're just kind of looked like, it's almost a get-right type of game at home. Like, let's just get our 1-0, 2-0 type of win and get out of here. So under 2.5, plus 110 for me for this one.
Is that allowed in a Paul Carr segment that you took an under? Is that permitted on this show?
We are breaking new ground here, Gil.
Okay. All right. Let's do an investigation if that's allowed.
All right.
Later Saturday, or the same day, Saturday, Chelsea's off to a sort of ho-hum 1-1-1 start, if you will, in the Premier League. You are fading them. You got a dog here.
I am. Chelsea's, they're in a weird spot of sorts, both on and off the field, because just a lot of drama behind the scenes. They may or may not get sold by the guys that just bought them a couple years ago. They've spent like $1 billion literally on players over the past few years and have all these players they can't figure out how to get on the field. But I like Bournemouth in this situation or in this spot. They've got a lot of dangerous players. The thing they do really well is press and win possession in the attacking third. They're third in the league in that. Chelsea's battling some key injuries in the midfield that should give Bournemouth opportunities there. And Chelsea hasn't handled the pressure all that well in general this season. So I take a shot here on Bournemouth to win +250 at home against Chelsea on Saturday.
All right. And then on Sunday, Newcastle off to a good start with 7 points here in the early going, just through three matches in the Premier League. You like them against Wolverhampton.
Yeah, this is both how they started and also kind of sticking to my priors, you know, at Newcastle in the top four at the beginning of the season. I like them to win this one. This is our take the better team adage here. +110 is the price. Wolves winless through three. Newcastle, you mentioned, two wins and a draw. Wolves does not take good shots. Second worst in the league. But more importantly, they don't seem to know how to defend in transition. They give up 6 goals to Chelsea. And most of those were just Chelsea on the run when Wolves was trying to do something and then kind of forgot to, you know, defend their own half of the field. And guess who's good at transition? Newcastle. So I think that plays right into their hands here. So Newcastle win +110 at Wolverhampton on Sunday.
All right, let's review. Crystal Palace and Leicester City, the under 2.5 goals on Saturday. Also on Saturday, tomorrow, Bournemouth +250 versus Chelsea outright.
Yeah.
Shop around for the number there, of course. Paul got +250. And then Sunday, Newcastle, a small dog, but a dog nonetheless, +110 at Wolverhampton. I hate to leave you this way, Paul, in our last 30 seconds, but are you out of Survivor after week one? Is that what I heard?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can make my excuses. It's like a 20-person pool or so. So it makes a lot more sense to take the Bengals in that one. And frankly, I didn't think the Bengals were that good, but you're at home against the Patriots. Come on. Can't get that done for me in week one. So it's been a rough 8 days of football. I'm out of Survivor. The Dolphins season's over. Yeah.
What's worse, by the way? Wait, if you could only have one of these, what's worse?
Have an actual Dolphin season or be in Survivor?
Yes.
That's a tough one, which kind of tells you what you need to know. I think I would take the Dolphin season, but that maybe that's just a little more fresh. If you'd asked me on Sunday, yeah. I probably would have taken the Survivor.
It's only a 20-player pool, so Cincinnati was the proper pick, and that's probably the proper answer. Thank you, Paul. Alex Kane from Sport Trade, -104 lines next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or maybe you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade's perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Live already in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. Coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. If only we had someone who could speak further on the subject, and we will, by the way. The CEO of Sport Trade, Alex Kane, was kind enough to be on the panel that Spanky was kind enough to have me moderate at Bet Bash. It was the quote-unquote Billy Walters panel, if you will. And, of course, you know, my job as the moderator was to sort of roll the ball out onto the court for Billy.
Right.
And then let Billy go. And then my biggest job was, when can I stop Billy? Right. Because Billy will, and Spanky told me this, he goes, Billy will go on for 30 minutes if you let him. At about the 11-minute mark, no joke, at about the 11-minute mark, I was like, I was trying to interrupt. And I was like, I'm so sorry for interrupting you. So we got more people involved. But Alex Kane of Sport Trade ended up being one of the stars of that panel, if not the star, I would say. So we'll talk to Alex here momentarily.
He's good to go.
He's good to go? Yeah. Yes. Okay. If only we had the CEO of Sport Trade to discuss this with. It's Alex Kane, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Alex?
How you guys doing? So excited to be here. And hey, Gil, for you, I'm not wearing the hat today, so you can see the hair.
Yes.
That's right.
Good.
Thank you.
The lettuce. It's looking awesome.
Lettuce. I think it was longer on the panel, wasn't it? Yeah, it was very pronounced.
I needed a haircut.
Yeah.
You can only go so long, brother.
Alex, let me, you were kind enough to come on before. People may have missed that segment with us. So I'll start the same way I started then, which is give the listener the pitch, the 30-second or maybe a little more, but the 30-second elevator pitch on why they should be using Sporttrade where it is available.
You know, Gil, I'd love to do that. But let me first say, we're so happy to be partnering with you guys. The readouts you guys are doing are incredible. So I would honestly divert to what the person just heard, because the way you describe Sporttrade is perfect. Sporttrade is a place where you can get fantastic prices, pregame and in-play, clear limits, and near instant in-play betting. On top of that, you get concierge level service. So imagine if there was a sports book out there that allowed you to bet minus 106 lines. And then even if you wanted to get better, you could contact us or you could ask for a better price directly in the app. That's what Sporttrade's all about. We're live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, as your listeners know. In about 10 days or so, we're going to be live in Arizona. Super excited about that. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, we'll be live in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
That was my first question. So in 10 days, Arizona, you just have to wait 10 more days in Arizona, 2 or 3 weeks after that in Virginia. Okay. Let me just ask you this, because, you know, there was a period of time here where I referred to Sporttrade and Prophet, right, as sports betting exchanges. Prophet has pivoted in a different direction. You're not exactly an exchange literally anymore, correct?
Yeah. So what we found is that we pitched ourselves to the exchange, and a lot of the market was, you know, thought about different iterations in the past, whether that's Matchbook, Betfair overseas. And, you know, you can do all those things on Sporttrade. You can say, hey, this market's offered at minus 106. Can I get minus 104? I'm willing to bet $2,000 at minus 104. But what we found is that it was easier to sort of pitch Sporttrade as, hey, there are already great prices on the app. You don't have to request a price and wait for it. There's already really great liquidity. And that's the great thing about the way I think we're pitching the app now, is that once you join, they're going to join because you hear about great prices, great service, near instant in-play betting. And then once you get started, Sporttrade actually truly is so much more than that. And one of those things, Gil, to your point, is you can request a better price. You can start to do things that you could never imagine doing on a sports book. But I think what we found is, like, that can be a bit off-putting to someone that's not familiar with it. And so we've sort of pivoted to say, hey, we have a great brand. We have something that's an all-welcoming platform. We have great prices, great limits. And then the customers that come in and join, they hop in and do all those other features as well. We've just figured it out. There's, like, a bit more of a tactical way to get there.
Okay. I want to ask one tough question, if I could, because I know you're super proud of the in-game product and the straddle that exists at in-game. Again, great, you know, great lines for the better. How will you contend with the delays that are inevitable with in-game betting? Because I know you, I think there was a tweet about in-between pitches as well. Did I see that correctly?
You saw that correctly. I am not kidding when I say, and I'm incredibly conflicted, so it's hard for, you know, for folks to take this at face value. But here's my challenge for those who are listening. Obviously, we're only in 3 states. We're going to get in a couple more states this fall. We'd like to get into 3 more, 4 more states next year. Go ahead and download the Sporttrade app, even if you're not in a state where we're live yet. And I want you to do 2 things. Thing one, check out the tape. It's our new homepage. It's a real-time feed of every single bet that's coming through the system in real time. We have about a 10 to 11 cent straddle on everything for NFL right now, main lines and totals. That's the first thing. The second thing is, open an MLB game on Sporttrade once the games go live. You're going to see $3,000 limits in the middle of an inning, minus 108 on either side of the line, and know that there are bettors betting that with near instant bet acceptance. We do not have a blanket 5-second delay for everybody where you place the bet, the spinny wheel, the odds change, the bet's projected. Know that when you're looking at that, you can actually even check out the tape during that time as well. There are players getting $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 down at those prices with absolutely zero bet delay. I tell you, like, that is the most game-changing feature about Sporttrade that no other sports book can say.
Is the delay that I was referring to, I understand about the no spin. The delay that I was referring to was from broadcast to actual bet, right? That's the real challenge. And I assume that will get better. And I assume you think that will get better, too, as time goes on here. But that's got to be a challenge for now, right?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a challenge. I mean, we try to We take the game state data feed from Sport Radar in the case of MLB. We give that same feed to our customers. So it is annoying. You see like, oh, it was a strike. And then you look on the TV and 10, 20, 50 seconds later, it's a strike. I think most bettors are smart that, you know, they kind of wait till the break because they are on level footing with everybody else. But there are also customers out there that just want to open the app, aren't really watching the game, see the Phillies are offered at plus 220 because they're down two to one in the bottom of the seventh inning and want to rip a $1,000 bet at that moment in time. And that's where Sport Trade is unique and different. You don't just have to bet at those breaks if you want to. Yes, there is, you know, you might be watching it 50 seconds behind, but you know you're getting a very tight, fair spread because we're always offering that two-sided market.
Alex, it's super exciting. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sport Trade. Again, minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. And we could do the math here and bore you, but over time, that is just an unbelievable thing to have at your fingertips. So again, New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, coming to Arizona in 10 days, Virginia a couple weeks after that, Sport Trade. And again, use code VEASAN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Got to be 21 years or older to play. Alex, always a pleasure. Thank you for answering, you know, all the questions regarding it, about it, you know, moving along from being exchange, obviously the challenges involved. But this is great, man. Thank God someone's coming in and doing something in this industry.
Thank you, guys. Really, really appreciate it. If you guys, if anyone out there signs up, we will text you. And I'll make a point, if you use code VEASAN, it'll be me that texts you. So create an account and we can start chatting about whatever.
Appreciate that. Alex Kane from Sport Trade, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Always, again, love it when a CEO of a company spends some time with us. I'm sure he has better things to do.
I'm sure he does, yes. Too. Absolutely. Yeah. But man, what a great product. I really wish we had access to this kind of stuff. It's incredible. It's
fantastic. Again, Arizona, 10 days. That's all you got to wait.
Yep.
Real quick, because we're going to get back to NFL, and obviously we have Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob coming up. But I wanted to just throw in 90 seconds of baseball, if we could. Again, update on the September numbers. I know I called it August numbers yesterday. Those have already been decided, by the way. This just in. But September, Mets and Phillies once again at the top of the September standings for those who have bets in this market, 8-2. They were both idle yesterday, with the Mets nursing a one-game lead over the Braves for that final wild card position in the National League. And again, the Mets with a set against the Braves taking on the Dodgers, and the Mets are taking on the
Phillies.
Phillies, thank you very much. So the Mets and the Phillies against each other, both at 8-2 atop. So these standings, this is a huge weekend for the September standings at the top, both 8-2. Guardians, Reds, Pirates, Rangers, after yesterday, all of them 7-4. And then there's our Diamondbacks tied with the Tigers at 6-4. We're on the front page, baby. 25-1 here at Circa on the Diamondbacks. Tiebreaker at Circa again, fewest losses, and the best run differential would be tiebreaker number two. So that's that. And then the Phillies leading the MLB best record market as well, for those who made bets in that, with a one-game lead over the Dodgers. So that's your baseball moment. But what a great baseball weekend. Now as we approach 2 weeks left in the season, those are two huge series, not only for the September, you know, betting market, but obviously with playoff implications, the Mets and the Braves there, because that's really the only thing in terms of the wild card, because the AL's kind of got a bit of a cushion for now with just over 2 weeks left. Obviously, there's a couple divisions that are still in doubt, speaking of the AL East. And if you believe it, the AL Central, though I'm not sure I believe that division is in doubt anymore. We'll come back. Are we sure? NFL, week number two. Are we sure about certain things? That's next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa, the mothership, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. You like to say that? Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidley, everybody.
I like it.
On A Numbers Game. I was meaning to tell this story a few times this week, and I never get around to it. But sometimes, you know, we recommend bets, and the bets cash, and everybody's pumped. And then sometimes we don't. I'm talking about us as hosts and then as guests. Sometimes we don't actually recommend bets, and people still land on miraculously and accidentally on a good bet. This is a great story. This is from Sean Villa. This was via DM, but I got his permission to repeat this story. And this is regarding, listen to this story. I want to say what it's regarding. On May 31st, you teased, talking to me now, he goes, you teased an upcoming segment with Jason Weingarten where you said he had an interesting idea regarding a Yankees long shot for AL Rookie of the Year.
Oh my gosh.
Wanting to get the best number fast, I scanned all of my books for Austin Wells and found him at 120-1, which I bet. A few minutes later, Jason came on to talk about Jason Dominguez, who I never even thought of since he was still recovering from surgery, as a sneaky long shot. Fast forward 3 months and I look like a genius. Congratulations on your 125-1. Well, I don't want to 120-1. I don't want to prematurely congratulate you, but Austin Wells, the short shot, trying to beat out Colton Cowser for the American League Rookie of the Year. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody on Twitter. This is from 3JackH3131. Oh, this is about the Megapod. By the way, I am so, the word is humbled, I think, by the response to the Megapod. Week one with Fezzik was great. Week two with PETA's off the charts in terms of the downloads. This is, 3Jack says, oh no, not the dreaded double fudge face, except he didn't say fudge. Great work as always, guys. I don't know if you know this, but it's not censored, the Megapod. We say things.
I feel like that's everybody's biggest surprise, right?
Yeah, we say things we don't.
Gil says bad words on there.
This wasn't even me, by the way. Now some of the regulars are saying bad words. Will Hill coming out of his shell yesterday. This is from, let's see, do we have another one here?
Yeah, we got a few more.
This is from James Sott. Going on Do Not Disturb from 11 to 12 today for sure. Oh, he's talking about the next hour. Why not Do Not Disturb right now, James Sott? I'm reading your tweet, for God's sake. He's talking about the Felica Fezzik Dr. Bob hour. And this is from Jason H11. I'm not smart enough to listen to this lineup coming up. Can you throw in Wishnev somewhere? Just kidding, Todd. Todd gets it from everybody, but Todd is a former Wall Street guy. His brain is very large. It's a very large brain. This is from Kip Heisterman. A lot of discussion about the spread in Kansas City-Cincinnati game, but what about the total sitting at 48? Seems high for a Kansas City home game versus a banged-up Cincy offense. Kansas City probably runs versus that D also, he says.
I actually bet the over small, but I understand that thinking. I think Drew Dinsick is on the under from that kind of game script thinking that, hey, if the Bengals got run all over last week by the Patriots, what's going to slow down Isaiah Pacheco in this Chiefs offense? I get that.
Phil PMT703, he says, Veasan not on his TV anymore. He says, Beating the Book, the podcast is one and only go-to. Thanks for all the time you guys still put into the show. I think he said that it came off the TV is what he's saying, not. You know, just mechanically speaking, he said, Bear Fezzik, Dr. Bob together might be, this is Joseph Frieda, Bear Fezzik, Dr. Bob together might be the most loaded hour in VEASAN history. Oh, we've had that hour before.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on a numbers game. We've had that.
And hour hopefully every Friday going forward, right?
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that?
You are allowed to say that. Every Friday going forward, we pay them no dollars at all to be on the show. Colorado River Sports. I think I'm falling in love with Gil Alexander. I don't know what that means. I think it's because of the lineup.
Either way, it's a nice compliment.
We'll read more of your tweets because there's a ton of them. We'll get to all of these. Thank you, Colorado River Sports. I think I'm falling back in love with Colorado River Sports. I don't know who they are. River Sports. I brought up Ryan Tannehill, obviously, yes, with the Dolphins' troubles with Tua. And by troubles with Tua, I mean, you know, obviously last night we see him again with a concussion. We see the fencing response. That's not good. And so I brought up, and Kelly was worried. He's like, oh, no, don't say it. Don't say it. Everybody talking about the best quarterback available being Ryan Tannehill. And you got really cringed. You know, you're cringing about that. So the task was, okay, let's come up with a list of available quarterbacks and see if they're better than Ryan Tannehill. What do you got?
There's not much. My conclusion here is if we're just talking free agent quarterbacks, there ain't much better than Ryan Tannehill. This list is a few weeks old, so pardon me if some of these guys did get signed. I missed it. Tannehill, Trevor Siemian, Kellen Mond, Max Duggan, Nate Sudfeld, Desmond Ridder, P.J. Walker, C.J. Beathard.
Ryan Tannehill, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I do have a couple of trade ideas, though. Okay?
There is a Pittsburgh Steeler trade in there, probably.
You know what? I didn't even write that one down. No. But because, like, I actually don't think that's realistic. Because what do you do right now if you're the Steelers? Like, I don't think is the idea of that trading for Russell Wilson?
Yeah. If they called and they were like, can we have Russell Wilson? They would be open to it, I'm sure. If you gave them the right amount. Absolutely.
You think they're that?
What were your options? What did you come up with?
Okay. I got the best one. I think I got a legit good one.
Uh-huh.
Tyrod Taylor from the Giants.
Okay.
Go out and get him. I think he's a guy that can run that offense.
Except that he plays for the Jets, but, you know.
Jets, whatever. Right, yeah. Mix up New York teams. Yeah. He's a backup. Couple backups, right? Andy Dalton. Right. And he's still there in Carolina. Like, whatever. Like, Andy Dalton's got an arm. Like, that could work. I mean, we'll bring up same old Joe Flacco. He's backing up Anthony Richardson right now. Those guys are all better than Ryan Tannehill.
I'm sure, as you're saying all of these names, people are so excited.
I mean, I'm sorry, Dolphins fans. Like, this is what we're talking
about. Dalton, Flacco, Tannehill.
And for as much as you're going to see the stories, of course you got to pick up the phone and call Tom Brady. Everybody has to. Like, you have to at least make the call.
Yeah, but is he still a part owner of the Raiders?
I don't know. But
so it's
he,
like not that
but he
easy.
Was supposed to be a part owner of the Dolphins at one time.
Right. Saying you have to divest.
And right.
Then,
sure.
Right. Yeah, then you have to say goodbye, Fox.
Sell this stuff. Yes. Yeah,
goodbye,
Fox
Sports. It's not going to happen. No. So it's Tannehill.
By the way, things that we were surprised about last week?
Yeah.
Were you not surprised at how? I really didn't feel like I needed the full breakdown of Tom Brady's announcing performance. Like, everybody felt the need to give. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yes. That was. It's his first game.
Yeah, it's
his first real game.
I hope we're never under the microscope like that. Oh my.
He is. I've seen some like off the grid, like TikTok, like a video on TikTok or a video on Instagram where he does some analysis. He's tremendous. No, I mean, no one knows the game more cerebrally than Tom Brady. He'll be fantastic at this. If he's not, then
I was shocked with how many people felt the need to weigh in on that.
Okay, real quick, our picks, because we got guests to get to. I hate myself. Last week, I ended up with a 3-2 in Circa Millions, and it was a disappointing 3-2 because I came out 3-0, and then it ended up being a 3-2. If you give me the 3-2 now in Circa Millions, I will take it in a heartbeat. I didn't take the Dolphins. The saving grace was that Circa had the Dolphins as a 3-point favorite.
What was with that, by the way?
So it kept me off that game in Circa Million. So I did not play that.
I never saw that point spread hit 3 anywhere, though, including at Circa.
I don't know what they were doing. They were shading it in a direction. So these are my four. I the Dolphins were a bet, but they weren't a Circa Millions play. But everything else I have is a favorite. Ravens, a big favorite. Ravens -9.5. By the way, they're only eight point favorites in some spots now.
Back in teaser range at Caesars, just FYI.
Yeah, Cowboys 6.5-point favorites against the Saints. Lions 7-point favorites against the Bucks. I'm sorry, I like it. I like all the chalk, and you know, I went through the week 2 overreaction stats, betting stats yesterday. That might not be good for me. And then I do think I'm going to take the Commanders in Circa Millions as well.
Good on you.
And the Texans will be my fifth in Circa Millions. I may bet the Texans as well, which is another big favorite. That's a Sunday night game against the Bears, 6.5-point favorites.
I think Texans are definitely going to be a contest play for me. I think they're my survivor play.
Texans are going to be my survivor play.
Okay, Seahawks laid 3. That was a look-ahead line. I did just add this morning, actually, that the better way to play this game is Patriots team total under. It is set at 17.5. It is juiced up to like -130. I think it's still a good play. I played that this morning, so I added that on my graphic. Colts laid the 3 going up to Green Bay. Ravens, I laid the full 8, and then I do have the Ravens in a couple teasers with the Cardinals from the opening line going up with the Cards, and then I also put them in a teaser with the Lions this morning. Bengals, Chiefs over 47.5, and then Texans laying the 6.5. It is a heavy favorite week for me too, Gil, and that works out well in week 2 always, right?
Are we sure? Go.
Are we sure Bryce Young will make it through the season as a starter?
So, I'm sorry, say that again?
Bryce Young will make it through the season as the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers.
We are totally not sure. That is not going to happen.
Are you sure he won't make it through?
Yes, I am 100% sure he won't make it through. Yeah.
Are we sure we won't see Jameis Winston at some point this season?
We are not sure about that. We may see Jameis very quick. Apparently they have a tape on this Deshaun Watson thing as well off the field.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
Yeah. It's a bad allegation, dude. We are not sure about
that. All right. Are we sure a quarterback will win Rookie of the Year?
Ooh, that's a great one. After 1 week, I'm still sure. But that wasn't a good week for rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think we do.
I'm still sure.
I still think you're
ask more that one in likely. A couple weeks. Yeah.
All right. Are we sure the Bears have the second best chance to win the NFC North
no,
as the odds would currently indicate?
No, we are not. I think the Vikings have the second best chance.
Yeah, me too.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one. That's the
are
last
we
one.
Sure?
Just in time.
Week 2. I think we gotta extend that every week. Are we sure? Week 2 in the NFL. Chris Velika, Steve Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Let's begin with the Bear and all his bets in multiple sports. It's a numbers game. That's next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.